Song of encouragement will be number 56. I believe that's out of our supplement as well. Number 56, Where Could You Go? It'll be on the screen, and that'll be sung as our invitation song after our study this morning. It's great to be here. It's great always to come together and study God's Word and be with the best people on the planet, not just Christians, those who love the Lord and want to serve Him, be faithful to Him. And this morning, as we look at the book of Mark, chapter 14, we're going to look at several passages from the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, dealing with Peter. You know, for all of us, we live day to day, and there are ups and there are downs, ups and downs. Some of those downs are from our own making, from our own choices. And this lesson this morning, I want to present to you that there are two main points that I want to get across. Number one, the point of warning and the reality that from time to time we stumble and fall. And the reality of that, certainly, but there's also danger and consequences for that. But secondly, I also want to submit to you that when we do fall, there is yet hope. There's always hope. And how we respond to our choice, to our sin. Do we find ourselves doing that which the Lord has commanded us not to do, or not doing that which the Lord has commanded us to do? Either sins of commission or omission. When we find ourselves guilty, how we respond then is of utmost importance. And I hope that we can all gain and understand and apply these main two points to our life. Every sin that we commit, every single sin, is a result of a choice we make. And that choice is usually preceded by some other things. Failures to apply God's wisdom to our life on a regular basis. Failure to not to know God's word, to study as we should. A failure to develop spiritually, strengthening our spiritual mind. We place ourselves in positions of temptation and weakness because of our neglect, our failures. And God provides through His Word everything we need. You know, we just sang a song, Yield Not to Temptation. And some people, they really struggle with that. There are certain things in their life that they find it very difficult, and if they even had their way, you know, in their statement regarding it would be, it's impossible for me to overcome this. I can't overcome this. This is just the way I am. Well, no, that's not, sin is not the way you are. But if we fail to implement God's wisdom and understanding and grow spiritually, certainly we place ourselves in a position where it's nigh impossible to overcome temptation. It's nigh impossible not yield to it when it comes along, because we have not prepared ourselves. We've not positioned ourselves to be equipped to overcome. Psalms 119 verses 9 to 11, of course, the main verse, main statement in that section of Scripture, all of that elevating the Word of God. I have hidden thy Word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Oh, if we would all just hide God's Word in our heart and allow that to be our governing principle in life. Or as Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, you know, putting on the whole armor of God. If we put on the whole armor of God, are we going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or not? Well, sure we are. The Apostle Paul even emphasizes that point in verse 16. You know, taking the shield of faith, with which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Yes, we can. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. And he goes on and says that these things are in you and they abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. You'll never fall. That's the point. 1 John 3 and verse 9. One who is born of God cannot sin because his seed remains in him. What is the seed in that verse? It's the Word of God. The idea is one who is born along, led about by God, by His Word, has that seed, that Word, hidden in his heart. As long as he's following God's Word, can he sin? No. You cannot follow God's word and sin at the same time. So every sin we commit is a result of our failure to implement the wisdom and the strength of God, which He provides to us through His word. As long as we're following God's word, we'll be faithful. We'll be okay. Peter, in our study, we're going to see how he's told by the Lord, "You're going to deny me three times." To which Peter responds, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not. All these might, but I won't." Then what does he do? He denies the Lord three times. In verse 27 of Mark 14, then Jesus said to them all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 29, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. In verse 53, skipping down a little bit, after Jesus was arrested in the garden, they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, verse 66 says, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now the idea of him cursing and swearing doesn't mean that he was screaming out profanity like we probably would think of it when we read that, cursing. But he was calling curses down from heaven upon himself if he is not telling the truth. That's what he's doing. I call God as my witness that I don't know what you're talking about. And so he was making an oath, if you will, in this instance. Verse 72, second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. He wept. Now, how did Peter go from being one of Jesus' closest disciples, most intimate companions in this adventure of preaching and teaching the gospel and going throughout the Judean world with Jesus, seeing all that he did? How did he go from being that close disciple to denying Jesus three times? It didn't just happen all at once. I'm going to submit to you. There are some other things that led up to it. You know, Peter had been with Jesus at the Transfiguration. Only three of them were allowed to go there. Peter was one of them that saw. Peter, James, and John. At the raising of the daughter of Jairus, Peter was there, intimate disciple. Only those were allowed. He was the closest disciple to Jesus in all of this. He asked about the destruction of Jerusalem in Mark 13. He was in the garden. He, along with James and John, were allowed to go further into the garden with the Lord. And the Lord said, you stay here while I go and pray. And the Lord warned them. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Jesus had healed his mother-in-law. Peter also, in Matthew the 14th chapter, walked on the water. Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you. Jesus said, come. He steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water. And then he looks around and he sees the boisterous waves, the waves blowing because, or rolling because of the wind. And he begins to sing, Lord, save me. He confessed Jesus as being the Christ in Matthew 16. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And there were different answers. Some Elijah, some John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And Peter speaks up, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, in John the 6th chapter, as many disciples turned away from Jesus because of the hard sayings that he made, Jesus asked his disciples, will you too also go away? And it was Peter who spoke up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of life. To whom shall we go? And there's Peter. So how did he get from confessing Jesus, believing strongly, defending Jesus? In fact, you know, even that very night, as they're in the garden and Jesus is being arrested, who is it that stands up and tries to defend Jesus? It was Peter. He took a sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. And I want to submit to you there are some things that led to his denial of Jesus. Number one, I want to submit to you that misunderstanding played a key part in this. You know, Peter, he was very quick to follow Jesus. He was quick to follow him. And you know, when we first begin following Jesus, how much do we really, truly understand about Jesus? Not much. See, we have to grow, don't we? All of us do. And so as long as we're in this period of not fully understanding, we are at risk, and we need to realize that. And those of us who are stronger also need to realize that they are at risk, and we need to take special care of them. Watch over them. Now, Peter was quick to follow, and he did not understand everything, but he was also very impulsive. That seemed to be his nature. He was quick to speak, and he was quick to act. And many times the things that he said and the things that he did were out of harmony with the Lord's will. But it was because of his zeal and his desire to serve and please the Lord that he did this. You know, it's interesting, one of the things that he even did, you know, he spoke up quickly. He rebuked Jesus. And going back to Matthew 16, after Jesus had been confessed by Peter as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus then begins to tell about his death. And Peter says, no, it will not, that's not going to happen. And Peter turns to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that's Peter. Why would he say that? Why would he try to talk Jesus out of dying on the cross? Well, he didn't fully understand, did he? There were some problems with his understanding about Jesus' mission. He did not fully understand. I'll tell you something else about Peter. Peter was, he had a pride problem. And you know, many of us, all of us have had to deal with this at some point. Most of us are still dealing with it every day. Pride. You know, pride is so insidious. It hides. It camouflages itself. In fact, many times, pride camouflages itself as humility. It comes across as humility, presents itself as being humble, when indeed the very motives behind what you're doing is pride. You know, in John 13, verses 6 through 9, for example, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter, and what does Peter say? You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus says, either I wash your feet, or you have nothing to do with me. Peter said, not my feet only, but also my head. Well, he was quick to change, but why would Peter say, no, you're not going to wash my feet? In reality, you know, we think, well, that's really humble. You know, I'm not going to let Jesus wash my feet because he's greater than I am. And that's, I'm sure, what Peter's telling himself. But you know, sometimes we refuse help from others who are wanting to help us, who are wanting to serve us, and we say no. Why do we say no? Because there's some pride in there. If we let somebody help us, then that means I have to actually lower myself. I have to admit that I'm not as strong as what I want them to think I am. I think that in this instance, there is some pride actually coming through in Peter when he says, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And that clearly comes out when we see his overconfidence. Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. He says, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Now what's he saying? I'm stronger than them. I'm better than them. They may stumble. They may deny you. I wouldn't put it past them for a second. I believe they probably will. But I'm not. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. That's pride talking, my friend. It may be trying to camouflage itself, but it's still pride. We need to be very careful over and over. You know, Peter demonstrates there's something there that he still needs to learn. There are lessons that he needs to learn. Neglect. You know, in the garden, Jesus says, stay here and watch while I go and pray. You pray also. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Well, Jesus comes back after he goes and he's praying to the Father, vehemently pouring out his heart and his soul. He comes back, and what does he find the disciples doing? They're all asleep, including Peter. They're all asleep. Not really taking it seriously, is he? Peter's not really taking this whole struggle that Jesus is going through seriously. There's still a lack of understanding there, clearly. And I don't need to watch and pray. A little pride there. I don't need to take heed to Jesus' advice on this. He goes to sleep. He doesn't take it as seriously as he should. Presumptuous. Yeah, after Jesus is arrested, it's Peter who steps up and he strikes Malchus's ear. Cuts it off. Jesus has to heal him. Jesus rebukes him. Now all who live by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus has to rebuke Peter. And why would Peter do that? Well, he's being a little presumptuous. He does not yet understand, does he, that Jesus is going to die, that this is all part of the plan. Cowardice. Jesus is led off to the high priest. And where is Peter? He's following at a distance. There's something also to be said about the relationship. Whenever our relationship between ourselves and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that when there's distance between us, my friends, that's when we are at the greatest of jeopardy. We need to keep that relationship strong. And how do we do that? We continue to listen, follow closely, cling to him through his word. But cowardice, you know, we're afraid of what is going to happen and be thought about us by those in the world. He followed at a distance. And when he was questioned, how did he respond? Worldliness. As he warmed himself by the fire. He was with the worldly people. Verse 18 of John 18 says, Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. He's right in there with them. There's a point that I think we can make from that to ourselves. He's placed himself in this position where he's going to be tried. Why are we so determined to test ourselves and to put ourselves into that situation? You know, yield not to temptation. That's very true. But let me suggest to you something else. Don't intentionally put yourself in positions where you're going to be tempted. Don't do it. Don't go anywhere close to it. Why are we so tempting of temptation? We need to stay away. So now here Peter is, and all these things having led up to this event. Verse 67 of Mark 14, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth, but he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. You know, the way he said it, he's kind of trying to avoid coming right out and saying, I don't know Jesus. I just don't know what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying. And then the second time, of course, this is one of them. This is one of the servant girls seeing him telling others. And he's questioned by one of those that were with the servant girl. He denied it again. I don't know. Don't know him. Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Peter had set himself up for this fall, and he took it. And he took it hard. Now, I want to make some applications from some of the things that we just talked about quickly. You know, when it comes to understanding or not understanding the Lord's will. Now, we're told in Hosea 4 and verse 6 that God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word knowledge in the New Testament is translated from a few different Greek words. And there's one important word, epignosis, that we find in the Greek translated knowledge. It is an intensified form of gnosis, which means knowledge. But epignosis is an intensified form. And it's the kind of knowledge that we ought to have. It is an experiential knowledge. A knowledge that is so close and complete and perfect that we have a complete understanding, or at least a sufficient understanding, to help us in times of trial, tribulation, temptation. It's a saving knowledge. It's a knowledge that is gained through experience. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, here the word is used. Now we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To be intimate with Him. To have an experiential knowledge. That is, we have not only come to learn of what He wants us to do, we are practitioners of what He tells us to do. We have applied that knowledge into our everyday life, and we have benefited from serving the Lord. We have experienced the joys of serving God, and we've thus drawn closer and closer to Him. But misunderstanding, you know, when we are struggling to grow as we should because we're failing to read God's Word on a regular basis, we're failing to attend the services on a regular basis, we're kind of neglecting, if you will, that necessary spiritual food, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. That's what we're doing. And Peter was still growing, and yes, while we're growing, you know, we're going to be at risk. So all the more why we need to stay away from places that we might be tempted. And pride. Proverbs 18:12. Look, Proverbs has a lot to say about pride. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's the way it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You know, it's very easy to say, you know, they may fall into sin. I think that person, you know, they're not doing what they ought to do. They're not going to be as faithful as I am. I am mature. I've reached this position in my life where I am beyond doing what this person has done, and thus we're tempted to look down upon them because of something that they sin that they've committed. Need to be careful. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. You know, those who are overcome in a fault, he that is spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Because you also can be tempted, Paul says. Neglect. We do not spend the effort, the time to grow. We neglect things that we ought to be taking more seriously. Peter was told to watch and pray. We are also told to watch and pray. We need to watch and pray. We need to be serious about our growth as Christians. We need to be aware that there are dangers all around us every single day. Neglect. Are we neglecting the things that God has given to us to strengthen ourselves? No, putting on the armor of God. Reading and studying His Word, growing in virtue and the fruit of the Spirit. Are we really and truly developing these things? And actually, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, giving all diligence to add these things to our faith. Are we neglecting that? Well, I tell you, if we're neglecting that, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Presumptuous. Peter was presumptuous. He thought that, you know, the Lord wanted him to fight. Again, misunderstanding the situation, the circumstances, and what the will of the Lord is in this case. You know, David was presumptuous in 2 Chronicles 13, verses 1 through 14, when he tried to move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Chapter 15, verse 2, he had come to learn that only the priest could carry the Ark. He had built this nice new ox cart to carry it. He was presumptuous about that. We need to be people who demand authority for all that we do and make sure that what we're doing is what the Lord wants us to do. Again, this goes back to understanding. And pride, you know, if we're lifted up with pride, we're going to think that anything that we do is going to be accepted by the Lord. In reality, what we're doing is worshiping ourselves. We do what we want to do instead of what the Lord tells us to do. And then we try to justify it in some way. Or cowardice. Cowardice. Our faith is not what it ought to be. You know, faith is going to drive out cowardice. Faith is going to make us bold. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, we read regarding those who are unbelievers, fearful, unbelieving, adulterers, the whole long list of people there who are going to be in the lake of fire. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Cowardice. Is our faith strong enough to be bold? Like the apostles in Acts, the 4th chapter. At Peter and John in Acts 4, and the rest of the apostles in Acts 5. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, knowing that he was with Jesus. You know, it's interesting how Peter had changed. Or worldliness. My friend, we're told very clearly, James 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whosoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that we cannot love both God and mammon. We can't serve both God and mammon. It's either all of God and none of the world, or any part of the world, we're going to be of the world. We can't hold on to God and the world at the same time. We need to put ourselves in position. And by the way, you know this idea of trying to please. And here Peter is, he's put himself in the world where the temptation is going to come. We need to stay away from temptation. We need to insulate ourselves, if you will, the best we can. Temptation is going to come. But why provide it opportunity when we don't have to? Denial. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But you know, there are more ways to deny Jesus than just saying, I don't know Jesus. That's what Peter did. But you know, there are those. Now, would you say that Peter was a stubborn unbeliever? I'll submit to you, he believed who Jesus was. He believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He had already confessed that, although his faith in that may have been shaken a little bit now that Jesus is being put on trial. But he's trying to distance himself. He was afraid more of what man thought of him than what Jesus did. It was a period of weakness. But there are those in the world who just flat out don't believe, and they deny Jesus. They deny that he even existed. Atheists and agnostics who say, well, I don't know if he existed or not. Or cowardice. This is more along the lines of why Peter did what he did. Fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, Matthew 10:28. Do not fear men what they may do. They may kill you with the sword, but that's all they can do. But what about this one? Teaching and following the wrong Jesus. What about that? I'm teaching a Jesus that's not found in the New Testament. There are a lot of religious groups in the world today who do just that, don't they? Teaching a way of salvation that's not of the Lord. My friend, when you follow man-made doctrine, when you follow that, what's going to be at the end of it? Who are you getting close to? You're not getting close to Jesus. You can't get close to Jesus by following what men teach and what they've come up with. You cannot follow man's way of salvation and be saved by Jesus. You know, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, Paul was very concerned about the church at Corinth. He said, if someone comes along and teaches another Jesus whom I have not taught, I'm afraid you're going to accept it. There are other Jesuses out there. The denominational world has created another Jesus. A Jesus that accepts all the denominational people, all the denominational ways, all of man's ways, accepts us as we are, even though we're not following it. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. For many will say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will say unto them, depart from me, work lawlessness, I never knew you. They were following the wrong Jesus. We need to make sure we're following the right Jesus, not obeying the real Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Friend, if we're not obeying Jesus, what we are actually doing is denying him. There's a comparison that can be made there with the Jews of Paul, that Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 2. He says that they, because they were guilty of not following God's commands, God's law, they were teaching others that they needed to follow God's law, but they themselves were not following God's law. He said, you blaspheme the name of God. My friend, so do we when we don't obey Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, going back to verses 6 through 8, those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. My friend, not obeying the real Jesus will bring condemnation. But now quickly, I want to submit to you that there's an upward side of the story, a happy ending, if you will. Peter has denied Jesus three times. Judas also had betrayed the Lord. He betrayed him for money. And again, you know, I've emphasized it's important for us to realize is how we respond when we find ourselves guilty of sin, sinning against the Lord. It's how do we respond that really matters. Jesus had prophesied Peter's denial. Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail, Luke 22:32, as we read earlier in the scripture reading. And Jesus said, when you have returned to me, John 21 and verse 15, strengthen your brethren. And you know, it's interesting when you get to John the 21st chapter. John the 21st chapter, Jesus asked Peter three times, you love me more than these? You know, it's interesting what Peter did. He said, Lord, even though all these may deny you, I will never deny you. And Jesus says, do you love me, Peter, more than these? And he asked him three times, do you love me? And of course, Peter's answer, yes. Jesus, you know I love you. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, you know, when that cock crew in verse 60, you know, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, Luke's account said. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was remorseful. He had sinned against the Lord. He had done exactly what he swore he would never do. How was his conscience affected by that? How did he respond? He remembered the words of the Lord. He remembered and he understood the words of the Lord were true. We need to understand that the words of the Lord are true. That God is right. The Lord Jesus is right. But he remembered what Jesus had said. And a sorrowful man now wept these bitter tears. Remorse. Do we have remorse for sin? An erring disciple is now returning to God in his heart. I'm sorry. He returns to the Lord in his heart. You know, and then we see the effects of this. He preaches the first gospel sermon, Acts chapter 2. And the result of the preaching of the apostles on that day, that 3,000 obeyed the truth. We see later that he preached to Cornelius in Acts 10. He was the apostle chosen to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he participated in the discussion at Jerusalem in Acts 15 regarding circumcision and being justified by the law, which he could not be. He served as an elder, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. I, who am a fellow elder, he's writing to elders and giving them serious responsibilities and duties. He wrote the book of 1 Peter, and the emphasis of 1 Peter is on holy living. We need to live holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 is emphasizing that very point. And then 2 Peter, you know what 2 Peter is really all about? It's the danger of apostasy, the danger of falling. That's the warning of 2 Peter. It can happen. Peter knew that all too well, didn't he? And he knew how to stop it. He knew how to prevent it. You know, before he denied Jesus three times, he was lifted up with pride. Just enough pride there to cause him not to prepare himself to be ready to endure and to overcome the temptation that was about to happen. He was indifferent regarding the Lord's instruction to watch and to pray. He was a coward. He was distracted by the world. He allowed the things of this life to hinder him. And then afterwards, you know, it's important for us to realize Peter emphasizes the need for humility. Those who humble themselves before God and resist the devil, it's important that we humble ourselves, because those who humble themselves will indeed be lifted up by God. Diligence, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And verse 10, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge. Well, at verse 10, he says, again, therefore giving all diligence. He was bold. Acts 4:19, Acts 5:29. Whatever those Jewish leaders were going to do to him, didn't matter. He said, is it right to hearken to you more than to God? You judge. He had made the determination that he was going to follow God regardless. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, you know, he emphasizes, as you come to the conclusion of that book of 2 Peter, this warning about falling away. The ending of that book is about heaven. And he says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved and being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, we all stumble from time to time. It's always, however, because we have failed in some way to prepare ourselves. I mean, we've done something wrong prior to our stumbling, or we would not have stumbled. But, you know, it's really, again, how do we respond? You know, we need to grow in knowledge and prepare ourselves. We need to be humble, always accepting and receiving instruction and correction when we need it. We need to be diligent to prepare ourselves. We need to walk by faith. We need to be courageous, and we need to be spiritually minded, not materially minded. And all of these things will keep us from falling if we implement the teaching of our Lord. But what if we don't? Well, we're going to stumble. But how do we respond? Peter went out and wept bitterly, and he returned to the Lord. Judas went out and wept bitterly, and he went and hanged himself. How do we respond? You know, I'll tell you another example. In the Old Testament, King Saul. He was corrected by Samuel on two occasions, in 1 Samuel 13 and 1 Samuel 15. And you know what his response was in both instances? You know, I haven't done anything wrong. he did not humble himself and turn to the Lord. Peter humbled himself. Peter learned a very important lesson. He did wrong, but there's forgiveness. There's always forgiveness with God. When we wander away like that prodigal son, you know what? We can come home. God has the door open. He wants you to come home. And when we do come home, you know, we're not closed out and we're not made second-class citizens. When we come home, we're received, we're forgiven, we're received, and we're blessed. And regardless of what we've done, we can still, if we're willing to repent, humble ourselves and repent, we can be valuable and effective in the Lord's work, just as Peter was. Let us all confess him daily by our very life that we live. Let us all do what we can to lead others to Jesus. You know, like Peter on the day of Pentecost when he, you know, said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's an inspired man. A man who had stumbled, a man who had fallen, now giving instructions to people, telling them what they can do to be saved by the Lord. They can receive the forgiveness of their sins and be made right with God. My friend, wherever you are this morning, whether you have never obeyed the gospel, you're lost, you need to obey the instructions of Peter right here, why not? Now, why not this morning? Or maybe you are here this morning and you have stumbled, you are in sin. No, repent, confess, and pray to God. If it's of a public nature, you need to make confession as widely as the sin is known. And if you have wronged the Lord in a public way, you need to make that known publicly. You need to repent. You need to let the brethren here know that you've repented. We'll pray with you and for you. Maybe you're here this morning and there's something we can do to help you. Please be humble enough to let us. And if the Lord, you need to return to him, please be humble enough to return. Won't you come? Let's get to the stand.